Josh Sitton and TJ Lang were just clearly part of the rehab program today. I was incorrect. We're going to work him. We're going to work him tomorrow. So I thought they would do some drill work today, but the plan is now to work them tomorrow.
I'm sorry, work both of them, Mike?
Excuse me?
Work both of them tomorrow?
Correct, yes.
Are those two guys that, after how many years of playing, even if they didn't go Saturday, you could take it all the way up to the game and it wouldn't be a problem, or do they need to practice at some point?
I'd be very comfortable playing with TJ and Josh without any practice time. Field time, field work you're referring to, correct? Yeah.
Do you know if Josh had any success yesterday? He told us he was going to try out some different footwear and things to see what kind of comfort he could get with that. Are you aware of where that stands?
I mean, those were really conversations for you and Josh.
Sweet.
I'm not the footwear guy, but I'm sure they'll try. They'll try everything. Yes.
So, like, typically, you know, Friday we don't see that. You don't do any practice.
I'll be here.
So I'll be right here too.
Okay. Where's your suit at today, by the way?
It's a Wednesday. So will you have to alter your schedule just to get them some other work, or will they just do the work in the crick?
No, I mean, we have the ability, obviously, to go to the crick, and it's just more the workout that they need to go through.
You know, Corey mentioned that when he first moved in the lineup that he relied on those guys a lot. Has he kind of moved past that where, you know, he can – you know, be more on his own in case Josh and TJ can't go?
Corey Lindsay, yes. I think that's a great question. I think Corey's ready to make all the calls. But, you know, the reality of it is, you know, our guards are trained the same way the centers are for communication, particularly on the road, particularly, you know, even more emphasized in loud stadiums. The guards have a little better viewpoint of some of the things we may be looking for. So, you know, I always refer to the two guards and center and the quarterback. The core of our offense from a communication, job responsibility, things that they need to be aware of, their assignments, they all work hand in hand.
Mike, you guys have scored on your opening possession four of your last five games. Is that bad?
It's good. Don't jinx it, you know.
Why do you think that is? Do you think
Well,
great play calling.
I like to think so, but I look at some of the opening drives, and you know, I think any time you have a big play on the drive, it equates the points. You know, you go back to the first, you know, the big play where Aaron to Richard Rodgers down in Chicago, and in the last game, the third down play Aaron to Randall Cobb. So, you know, the extending of plays, you know, the playmaking ability of Aaron. So, I mean, generating big play and playing with tempo and execution is probably the three most important things.
You know, back in the old days, it was the Walsh thing where you script your first 15 or do you that, or do you have your ideas, but then you call whatever you call?
I mean, in theory, we do. We're not the traditional huddle team that gets in and out of personnel groups where you would, you know, then script the first 15. I was never, you know, truly comfortable going right down the first 15. List. I've been part of that operation mindset since 1989. So I've always scripted the first down and distance, normal down and distance calls based on personnel. And you know, with us being in no huddle, we still do that. But we have our first two calls in every situation that goes along with the normal D&D.
And then I was just wondering, have you changed your mentality at all about deferring versus taking the ball because of the success you've had, or is that irrelevant?
Well, really, it just started with the fact that we wanted to set the tempo. You know, if you look at some of our earlier games, a combination of things, we just felt that we wanted to make sure we maxed out the opportunity for as many opportunities at the plate. So I've preferred to defer in the past for other reasons. We'll talk about it again tomorrow. So we'll look at the week's work, the outlook of the defense, the outlook of the offense, and you know, really the coin toss decision for us, we make that every Friday.
Mike, when you've had the same quarterback for so many years in a row, how does that help you as a play caller and also, I guess, more in the offseason, maybe as an architect of the offense?
I mean, it helps you immensely. I mean, he's the most important piece of the puzzle. I mean, this offensive system has always been built around making the quarterback successful. And when you have the same quarterback as an Aaron Rodgers, you know, great talent, great player, it gives you the opportunity to go in directions, and we always talk about trying to stay on the front end of the cycle. You know, pro football is a big cycle. A lot of the schemes and concepts that you see today were probably used at some point or some variation of it some time ago, whether it was in college football or pro football. So just trying to stay in front of the trend is important, and Aaron Rodgers gives us that ability.
Mike, at the inside linebacker position opposite AJ, are you looking for one guy at any time to just be the guy, or are you still in that situation where you're using?
Well, AJ's clearly played the most. I mean, AJ's played time, and he's been, you know, our most consistent player in there, and his command is excellent. So, but as far as the opportunities for the other guys, I mean, we're still working those guys, and because I do want to stay the course of playing as many different combinations as we possibly can, because I just feel we're a better defense when we play more players.
More.
Mike, what did you think Dayton Jones was playing before his injury, and what do you
think he can give you if he's back on the field on Sunday? Well, Dayton was playing well. I mean, he's doing some really good things. It would be great to have him back out there. I mean, he's got two practices. I'm curious to watch the drill work, because that's a pretty good indicator where he is in the last hurdle he needs to get over. So, playmaker. I mean, he's obviously part of our rotation, and we like to rotate those big guys in there.
Like, you guys are not playing in London next year. Is that a relief? A little disappointed about that?
I didn't realize. Oh, sorry. He forgot to tell me. Yeah. We're not playing? I'm, Taylor killed me. I like London. I'm for going over there. So, yeah. I'm sure we'll be over there at some point.
Hey, Mike, you sometimes when you ask a coach why something isn't going right, they'll say, well, if we knew, we would fix it. But when you look at your run defense, what do you think maybe one or two things that, if you guys just do those things better, things will get better as a whole in that department?
It's a combination of things. It usually is when you have one glaring area. I mean, it's if you're able to just take the one part that you felt you need to change, it, you know, trust me, it would have been changed a long time ago. So, run defense or even run offense, it comes down to, trusting the guy next to you, everybody doing their job. And really, then once you do your job, it's really where the play starts. You talk about run defense, everybody talks about the fit, play it and make sure you're fitting in the right place. Well, once you fit, you need to whoop the block, you need to whoop the man over you and make the tackle. So I think sometimes we try to do things a little bit too right, and, and they make a few plays. Confidence is affected. Some guys try to make plays. I mean, to me, it's a combination of those things, and we just got to get back to the basics.